Good morning. Let's get ready for worship together. Begin first of all with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How thankful we are for the assembly here to worship you, to tell others of you. Father, we just pray that this morning we'll be glorifying to Christ. In His precious name we say, Amen. Let's see. Let's begin with the song.
All right. Would you turn with me to hymn number 13? Hymn 13 is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Saved and go in and out, find the pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with the shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father.
Let's sing hymn 222, Day by Day.
Thank you. Let's talk about.
You're on mute.
I've been singing this along.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's talk about some prayer requests. Nyla is home. She's not sick. She's just around the front of other people that have been sick. So she's, I mean now, now, as she's sick. Huh? Yeah, Nyla's right here. Now, let me talk about Nyla being here. Not this next Sunday, but the next Sunday is the first Sunday of February. So we have the communion, and then we eat together. But that Sunday, we're going to eat together with something in mind, and that is her birthday. And I'm not going to hold back or anything. Even I think that is unbelievable. 90 years. 90 years. And I mean, you don't look at Hamlet or anything.
Yeah. Chris reminded me that it's the barbecue.
No, it's chili cook-off.
Is it that Sunday?
Yeah.
So instead of, we'll still celebrate, but we'll celebrate with chili.
Is that okay?
That's great.
Okay, good. All right. So we'll just
with you. You're the one. You're in charge, apparently.
So we're gonna throw a barbecue for your birthday. Chili cook-off for your birthday. So that'll be good. Let's see. Judah's daughter, Karen, is doing better, not a whole lot better, but a little better. And then Karen, who is the daughter-in-law of Phyllis, is she's doing better too. Not full, but okay, better. And so do we have any others? Yes.
Just pray for Tish. She's dealing with COVID right now.
Yes.
And so, but she's doing okay. She just, continued.
Now, when you say doing with, you don't mean having it.
She has.
She has it?
Yes, she has it, so.
How could she have it? She don't call.
She's been very isolated. We don't know. But it's been going around. Rick and I just got over it. We weren't around her. And Leslie and Jerry weren't around her either. Everybody kind of stayed away from her, so she still got it.
That's why I'm surprised that she got it from nobody. My goodness.
Okay, like she said this morning, I'll survive, but I feel like not very well right now.
Okay, be in prayer. Thank you. We'll be in prayer.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just got over it 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's been about a week now.
Okay. You doing all right?
Get it. We're very thankful.
Do what?
Thomas didn't get it this time when Rick and I got it, so okay. Thankful about
that. That's good, yeah. That's good. All right, yes.
Two prayer requests.
Two.
One, my friend Christy, who we were been praying for, has breast cancer. She's a young mom and wife. And a positive note, her first four chemos, her cancer was responsive and has been shrinking. She starts chemo again tomorrow. And has four more chemo sessions. So they're hoping that this will be continue to be successful. We are continuing to raise money for them. If anybody's interested in donating, specifically to Christie's, I won't say the last name, but I will make sure that happens. It gets to her. And then, so by all means, talk to me if you're interested in doing that. I don't know if anybody's, well, obviously I know Rick and Terry went through with, it is a massively expensive battle. And so, anyway, that being said, continue to pray for Christy and her family and that this is successful. The second thing is Deani, our friend Deani, who's been out here, she's part of our youth ministry. She's graduated from high school. She's trying to get her own apartment and things. She's looking for a car. And so, one, be in prayer for her making smart decisions. We're helping her with that.
And two, if anybody has or knows of a, you know, a nice little car that they're looking to sell, we're not looking to donate. She wants to buy it and be responsible. But if anybody has any line of sight to that, we'd love to talk to you about that as well.
Good. So. Okay. Very good.
But please be in prayer for Deani making some of these. These are big decisions for an 18-year-old young lady that's trying to figure out how to get out of a, you know, a very challenging over the years experience. Grandma still takes care of her, and that's a good thing.
Very good. Well, we'll be in prayer.
Smart decisions.
We'll be in prayer. Both. Keep us posted. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have two.
Two.
Tana, her mother, Vicki, is now on hospice. They've decided they're not going to do any kind of treatment. And Tana has sold her condo, moved to Arkansas. She's been back a couple times, but as far as I know, she's on her way back, and she'll be staying there till God takes Vicki home. And Jennifer Sinclair and Brian, Jennifer's mom, Ev, is in the same situation. She's in her home in Wichita Falls and on hospice, not doing well. They're having a hard time even moving her from the bed to the bathroom.
Okay.
And Jennifer's with her.
Thank you. We'll definitely be in prayer. Thank you. Yes?
This one is from my friend. Her name is Lotus. Her two children. She's a single mother. Her father is with her. He's a chain smoker, and he doesn't seem to respond very well. When Lola was trying to get him to smoke less, and the issue right now is this week, her two children, the Wally, the boy, and Zainab, the girl, both came down with COVID. Mm-hmm. And we don't know the situation within the family, but the prayer is not so much about the kids. It's more about the father, because he doesn't seem to have enough cognizance to stay away from the grandchildren and not the making it worse.
So do we want to be in prayer for the two children?
Yes, and then the grandfather.
And then next the grandfather, okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, and her name is Lotus.
Lotus, all right.
Thanks.
We'll be in prayer. Anything, any other ones? All right. Let's work on our offertory, and we've got a lot of things to be in prayer for, to support, and so let's take the offertory. Let's pray. We consider it a privilege to serve you, Father. We consider it a privilege to give as unto the Lord. We do not consider it at all taxing to us, but a joy to us to support your purpose. Father, we pray that these offerings will come now for the enjoyment and the fulfillment of the plan of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's get ready for our study this morning on the resurrection. And starting next Sunday, we're going to have to speed it up in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm working now, right now, on how to speed it up, how to take, then you just get through it. Doing the same thing with Hebrews, not going to spend the time that I used to stay with the book, but to be through with chapter 1. I'm hoping two classes, and we'll get through chapter 1 and get on through Hebrews, but we'll see how that works. But right now, let's begin with the word of prayer and then move into our study as we continue Ephesians chapter 1. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're not in a hurry to get through your text, but there's so much to learn, so much to grasp and to understand, to appreciate. what Jesus Christ is doing in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, Father, we consider it a privilege and a joy to give us unto the Lord now to study. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will cause us to see and to understand Ephesians chapter 1. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's get to work on the resurrection. Now, if you've got a book or the printout here, we got the previous points that we have studied, biblical definition of resurrection. Roman numeral 2, the sovereignty of God and physical death. 3, resurrection in the Word of God. Now this morning we continue with the fourth point of our study. Number 4, importance of physical death as a prerequisite for the resurrection. This taught in our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've read verses 15, 51, 52, 53, 54. But now let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, which we studied last week, last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal, we will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The only victory is God's victory of resurrection. Death has no victory at this time. The sting of death is given in verse 56. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Now, even this requires, to me, an hour of study, just to take a look at the verse 56. But let's go through some things and then move on in it. Sin. Here, the imputation of Adam's sin, a physical birth, has 2 results. Real spiritual birth and subsequent physical death. This is the conflict, the compliance with Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, in which God warned David, now warned Adam, the day you make a decision to eat from this tree, dying, you shall die. Now, this sting of death is the natural sin nature that every human being has. See, the fact that you sin after salvation does not prevent you from dying and going to heaven and receiving a resurrected body. Now, all these kind of points like that to me are just so important. But we got to read them and then move on. If sin has a power, it must be defined. The Mosaic Law defines and reveals personal sin. And at this point, she studied 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now, point 8. Verse 57. The grace of God and resurrection. There could be no greater monument to the grace of God than the resurrection. Verse 57, but grace belongs to God. But thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that this is a victory which God gives to us. Every one of us are given this. It's not a victory we earned. You can earn a victory by becoming a mature believer. But there is one victory you cannot have. It is a gift. You cannot earn it. It's a gift. The resurrection of the body. The resurrection body is a monument to God's victory. God's grace gives to all believers a resurrected body. Resurrection is strictly God's victory, strictly the work of God. Here is another reason why no salvation, no Old Testament believer, here's the reason no Old Testament believer was resurrected. For until our Lord went to the cross and achieved the victory of the cross, no one could be resurrected. He could not be resurrected until he became true humanity at the virgin birth. In other words, God could give a victory that had not yet been attained. Jesus Christ died physically on the cross, but resurrected, ascended, and went and sat at the right hand of God the Father. That's what we're studying, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. At that point, the victory was complete. That was the victory over the angelic conflict. Now, it was a victory to give not only to us, but also to all Old Testament saints, and they will receive theirs at the second advent. The positive believer, as a believer growing in the Word of God, through post-salvation, simulation of the biblical truth, can have control over his life. Can have control over your life. But this biblical control ends at the point of his physical death. No believer has any control over the time or manner of a physical death. Now that's, of course, talking about the suicide, side bait on it. Nor over the time, wouldn't have this anyway, time or manner of his resurrection. The victory of his resurrection of the church age believer at the rapture. Now, you will be at the resurrection. The carnal believer who lives in sin against God, this believer will receive a resurrection body at the rapture, as will every believer who lives in line with the plan of God. In other words, live your life as a believer. They each and every one will receive a resurrected body. the resurrection is neither earned nor deserved nor lost due to one's life. So it's not earned by one's life or even lost by one's life. It is given to all church-age believers at the rapture. Verse 57, the phrase, through our Lord Jesus Christ, means the Lord belongs to every believer. He is our Lord whether we are winners spiritually or losers. Winners or losers. Now, what I'm doing now is summary of the grace of the resurrection. I reminded you last Sunday about five different places that I read to get all the information we're going to be getting here. What we're doing now is putting a lot of these over, and then we'll go back to points. Okay, grace. Grace is illustrated by the resurrection or rapture of the church as declared in Philippians chapter 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. People, please remember that. Every day remember that. Don't get lost in what's going on in the world. Don't get lost in what's happening in American history. Here's our citizenship. It's in heaven. Two, just as the grace policy of God has provided everything the believer needs for time, the grace of God provides everything the believer needs for dying, especially for the resurrection. Three, believers, as winners and losers, spiritually, as I'm using the words, receive resurrected bodies exactly like our Lord. How you live as a believer, good or bad, has no effect to your resurrection. Think about it. Think about the power of Jesus Christ. Think about it in your own life. How is it not affected by how we live? All that it impacts is how we think about Jesus Christ, either He's our Savior or not. Four, hence, resurrection is strictly the grace of God. Strictly, and it might even say salvation is strictly the grace of God, and with that, resurrection is strictly the grace of God. Strictly the Lord's victory. That's wonderful. Of anyone, everyone. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 57 says, thanks to be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Five, the resurrection is the Lord's wise and perfect decision. It's His decision. And is not subject to man's subscription, speculations, or even man's timetable. The rapture is imminent because there is no prophecy to be fulfilled before it occurs. However, the actual time for the rapture is God's decision, not our decision. But it could happen any time. The victory, point six, the victory of the resurrection is patterned after the resurrection of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. The victory of the resurrection is patterned after the resurrection of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's victory of resurrection is given to every church age believer. 7, remember, every believer, winner or loser, will receive a resurrection body at the rapture. So it's going to happen. We're going to have it no matter when it's going to happen. Now, we go back over. Kit put a line here to get us back into the flow of thought here, back to our line.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a, okay, so before 1948, when Israel was declared a state, that prophecy was fulfilled. So there's no way that that could have occurred before 1948.
It may not have been, it could have occurred that way, but it was not a prophecy.
Israel being declared a state is not a prophecy.
Not a prophecy. Not a prophecy.
Well, then the Jews going back home, that is a prophecy.
Well, what you're talking about is what he would be doing, but it wasn't like prophesying in relationship to the church. But he's dealing with Israel. All right, now, 9, verse 58, your challenge in application of the resurrection. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Okay. The key at the end of this passage is the word steadfast. Excuse me. In the Greek, this is the word genomai, which means to become something you were not before. Right out of the lexicon. The genomai, translated steadfast, is something you became something you were not before. Here's the point. We have no control over death and resurrection. We do have control over our lives now as we believe. We have the freedom to press on to maturity. That's quoting Hebrews chapter 6. We have the freedom to press on to maturity. This is the wonder of the freedom we have here in America. To use your freedom to be steadfast in Christ. To use your freedom in that way. You have the right to learn doctrine and use it to the glory of Christ. B, the danger in your life, in our lives, is found in the warning. Here's the danger. Not distracted. Many believers are distracted. Distractions are anything you put before the learning of Bible doctrine. You got something more important in your life, that is a distraction. Now, always abounding. This means always going forward, making an impact in our spiritual life, in your work, in your toil, refers to your daily life. What is important in the Word of God daily, perception of Bible doctrine in your spiritual life. Here's the great issue, growing the Word of God. Okay, Roman numeral 5. In working on this study and the resurrection, this is what really got me into new stuff and a lot of reading that we've not done before. This is about omniscience. Omniscience. I should spend time in studying omniscience, but hopefully you understand omniscience of God. So, resurrection and the resurrection and the omnipotence of God. Very important to our study. Christ died twice on the cross that we may be born twice. He died spiritually to provide salvation. He died physically because his work was finished. Our first birth is the natural generation in which God the Father creates human life and imputes it to the soul at birth. The second birth is regeneration, by which God the Father, the Holy Spirit, creates from his omnipotence a human spirit for the imputation of eternal life by God the Father. In both the first and second births, the omnipotence of God is involved. So this is getting into relationship with the omnipotence of God. B, the power that sustained Christ on the cross and endured the sins and resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power that now makes it available to every believer to glorify Jesus Christ. The omnipotence of God the Father is the physical death of our Lord had a trichotomous power in the separation. Do you understand this? The omnipotence of God, power of God, in the physical death of our Lord had a trichotomous power in the separation, taking care of his body. His body went into the grave. His human spirit went into the presence of God the Father in the third heaven. His human soul went into Hades, where the demons have been incarcerated since Genesis chapter 6. So here we're dealing with the omnipotence of God, dealing with the trichotomous make power involved in the separation of the work of Jesus Christ, is being body, his spirit, his soul. Now,
I have a quick question on that.
Yes.
Short version of his soul going to Hades, for what purpose?
Going to get to that now.
Thank you.
Good. When we die, our soul and spirit go into the presence of the Lord in the third heaven, accompanied by Christ, who indwelt us. For we are said to be absent from the body, face to face to the Lord. So there is no splitting up of the soul and spirit in the death of the believer. But the Lord's physical body was unique. Being face to face implies that we are recognizable in an interim body. That got us into a lot of trouble here. But let's go at it again. An interim body in heaven until the rapture occurs. Now, our Lord's body was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. People argue about that and talk about that. I'm very firm on it because of Matthew chapter 20, verse 40, makes it very clear. Now, when the work of salvation was finished, our Lord said to the Father, "Father, unto your hands I dismiss my spirit." Luke 23:46, the spirit went into the presence of the Father. He said to the dying thief, okay, to the dying thief on the cross with him in Luke 23:43, today, not right now, but today, you shall be with me in paradise. In other words, before the end of that day, 6 o'clock in the evening. Is his division in his death is laid out in Psalm 16:10 and Acts 2:27. Now we come to his soul. His soul went down into Hades. And according to 1 Peter 3:18-21, the Holy Spirit guarded the soul of the guarded the soul of our Lord in Hades, the believers. But the soul of our Lord went down to Tartarus, and there he made the victorious proclamation to fallen angels. So he went into the fallen, went to Tartarus during this time to make a proclamation, a victorious proclamation to the fallen angels. Continuing, just as our Lord's spiritual death was unique, he was judged for all our sins. So his physical death was unique. He has a trichotomous separation. God the Father is said to be the agent of the resurrection, Ephesians 1:20, Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Romans 6:4, 1 Peter 1:21, all wonderful verses, all say God the Father raised him from the dead. But Scripture also says the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, as in Acts 2:24, Romans 1:4, Romans 4:8-20, 8:11, 1 Peter 3:18. So God, the Holy Spirit, is also the agent of his resurrection. The omnipotence of God, the Father, sent our Lord's human spirit through billions of light years of space to his body in the tomb. Simultaneously, the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit returned his human soul from Hades to his body. Did you listen? His human body. Simultaneously, the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit returned his human soul from Hades to his human body. Rejoined in the resurrection body. Our Lord walked through the stone in the garden. Later, an angel rolled away the stone so that the world could see and verify the miraculous resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is so much people talk about today and speak of what is happening in the world. But to us, the occurrence we are studying is far more important. A study of the book of Judges under Kit on Wednesday night challenges us to be silent. To be silent and learn what God is doing and why he is doing it. Pressing on to maturity is far more important to us, for us, and with us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. just I'm spending time here. Just this is what's important. There's so many things we could get distracted on, get busy attacking about it, talking about this, talking about that, doing this, doing that. No, here it is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and our own resurrection. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 that we're in the midst of studying, which he brought forth in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. But also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind. This goes with what I've been talking to you about, what we're doing in kids studying, learning to be silent and learning. This goes with that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Not things below, but things above. And finally, in the same list, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that by his word I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We've been conformed to his death. Jesus Christ could have used his own omnipotence at the cross, or his own power in his resurrection. He could have omnipotence at the cross or his resurrection, but instead he depended on the omnipotence of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. This is so important in what Jeff just read to us this morning, John chapter 10, verse 17 and following. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up back. This is a commandment I received from the Father. Jesus Christ surrendered his human spirit to the Father in heaven and his soul to the Holy Spirit. The humanity of Christ had the power to surrender his own life by means he depended on the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit and God the Father. Let's read that again. Jesus Christ surrendered his human spirit to the Father in heaven, his soul in the Holy Spirit. The humanity of Christ had the power to surrender his own life, but by means he depended on the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit and God the Father's omnipotence. During the crucifixion and the resurrection, the deity of Christ was still holding the universe together. While the crucifixion and his resurrection were going on, Jesus Christ was holding the universe together. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, and he is before all things, and he is before all things, and in him all things behold together. And in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, and uphold all things by the word of his power. So here he is, deity is doing things, holding everything together. His humanity is depending on the omnipotence of God to get things done. The power of resurrection. Here's the power now that comes to our resurrection. Our Lord had the power and authority to receive his life again. This authority or power came from the omnipotence of God the Father, who restored our Lord's human spirit to his body and restored our Lord's soul to his body. At that moment, the human spirit and soul of our Lord rejoined his body in the grave through the agency of the omnipotence of God, and the humanity of Christ was then resurrected. Just went through everything that happened, how to get him to the resurrection. At that moment, he walked through the solid stone of the tomb, and Christ was resurrected. His resurrected body is designed to show it can walk through the space of molecules. So this is why God had him just walk through the stone. The identical, omnipotent God, the Father, and God the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that has been provided for us in grace to execute the divine spirit-filled life. The omnipotence is now available to us in the plan of God for your life to glorify Jesus Christ. I moved here from the resurrection to your life to show you the importance of the omnipotence of God. We study the essence of God. We don't talk about it a whole lot. But every now and then, like in the study of the resurrection, I just came across some wonderful stuff that just, this is where we have to depend our understanding on, the omnipotence of God. Never before in history has so much divine omnipotence been available to so many believers for the fulfillment of the plan of God. You have this kind of power. You have available to you the greatest power. It is your by faith through grace. So we have the divine omnipotence of God available to do live our lives. The omnipotence of God will provide a resurrected body for all who are alive on the earth at that time. The omnipotence of God will provide a resurrected body for all who are alive on the earth at that time. Therefore, the victory of the resurrection is given to every believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of their Christian life. Science, or since resurrection is the Lord's victory, every believer will spend eternity in the presence of God in the resurrected body. 1 John 5:11 and 12. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that provides eternal security with every believer, winner or loser, every one of your friends, relatives. They're not winners, but they will be there in the resurrected body with the power of God.
Herman?
Yes.
I have a question. So when you say loser, you just mean people living in sin? But
people living in sin. In fact, I think I said that here. Maybe not. Anyway, it's about believers or losers who do not have the Holy Spirit but never yield it, never get the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they just live their life in their flesh.
So they believe in Jesus Christ.
But they believe in Jesus Christ. They have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they never use it. They're losers.
Okay.
And the losers comes in play at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, every believer will be there. Now, the ones who use the Holy Spirit, they will receive blessings and rewards. Those who did not will not receive rewards in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ.
And those are you're calling losers.
But they're still saved.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, the resurrection of Christ indicates the completion of the ministry of justification. Again, extremely important. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Extremely important is justification. The agents of the resurrection of Christ, God the Father, and then Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Peter, Hebrews, God the Holy Spirit, Acts, Romans, and 1 Peter, and Christ Himself, John 10, that we read. And finally, the resurrection of Christ is the basis for the believer's confidence in the future. Your life right now is confident in the future. 1 Peter 3, 1, 3 through 5, and Philippians 3, 21, because of Jesus Christ giving you this resurrection. We have the definite basis for the believer of resurrection. We will continue with Ephesians chapter 1 a little faster, not a whole lot faster, but a little faster, and you try to get through a little more land on it. But when we study Hebrews, it's going to be much quicker than we're used to. I'm trying to learn how to do that. And I mean learn how. I've learned all my life to spend hours and hours and hours on one verse. But we're not going to do that anymore. So we're going to start picking it up and make some ground. I don't have too many more days left in the world, and I want to cover some ground of some books of this time frame. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for the assurance of eternity that we have to be in a resurrected body with Jesus Christ. We don't understand so much about it, but we do understand our bodies. We do understand we will have a resurrected body, and we will be with Christ with it for all eternity in heaven. So, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this passage of study of our resurrection and the resurrection of Christ and how it is centered on the omnipotence of God. Your omnipotence, your power to save him, to bring him through the resurrection, and then to save us and to bring us through the resurrection. We're so thankful for your omnipotence. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.